I just got to be a little transparent with you this morning, just kind of share a little something with you that has just happened really in the last month or so in my own heart and life as a pastor. Can you believe that this coming spring will be 20 years since we planted Life Church and started Life Church? 20 years, two decades. And it's been a glorious and amazing time. And I'll allude to it just briefly in a moment in my message. But 20 years is a long time, and it's been nothing but a joy. There's been some dips and valleys, and there's been some mountaintop experiences, but it's been nothing but a joy throughout it all. And I got to just kind of peel back the curtain for a minute and just tell you about a certain feeling and emotion and thought that I personally have felt that I haven't even shared with Kayla, but I'll just tell you, it's kind of a passing thing, and the Lord kind of immediately comes and sort of speaks things into our spirit in moments like that. But the thought was, Lord, I don't know how much more I can do this. That was just the thought. I feel like I'm being a little too honest right now. I almost feel like I want to retract, but I'm just going to tell you, I thought, well, I don't know how much more I can do this. I'm not talking about hours and time and deeds and works and all. No, we can do that all day long, every hour, every day. But it's the heart stuff. It's that stuff that just gets you down deep in here. You look across this room and all the amazing people, I get the joy. Some of you may not know the person sitting across the aisle from you or two rows in front of you, but I know all of you. And I get to be a part of all of your lives, and you get to be a part of mine. And like, you know, our hearts just get so full with so much love and so much relationship and connection that it's just overwhelming sometimes. And with that comes the disappointments of life. It comes with burials of loved ones. It comes with sickness and pain and seeing marriages break up and dissolve that were once vibrant and full of life. It comes with all of those things too, because we don't just walk through the good times together. We walk through the valleys together as well. And so the thought was, Lord, I just don't know how much more of this this heart can handle. Look, you can run me and work me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's fine. But my heart just can't handle all of this. I watched, and I almost hesitate to share today because my dear brother Darren Smith is in this room today, but we watched our precious, amazing Julie suffer ultimately these last couple of years, but really here toward the end, and then having to eulogize her and say goodbye to her this week. That was one of kind of, you might say, sort of the proverbial straw, if you will, one of those moments for me. And I just said, God, I don't know how much more I can take. How many more people do we have to bury? How many more families that we love so very much are we going to have to walk down this lonely, dark road? How much more can the heart take? And then the Holy Spirit came and quickened something to me. And I believe this is a word for all of us in this room. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a leader in a ministry, whatever you are, it's for all of us as a member of a church body and family is this. He just kind of reminded me that, you know what, if you didn't go through the valley and if you didn't experience the pain and you didn't experience and it wasn't painful to you and you weren't there and you didn't walk through that with that family and you didn't experience all the overwhelming grief and pain with that, guess what else you wouldn't have had? You wouldn't have had that amazing, life-giving, life forever living in our hearts and in memories, life, and relationship that you had with that amazing person that I placed in your life and gave you the privilege of being a part of their life. And so then immediately my prayer turned. It turned to, okay, God, then I'll rather take all the grief you want to give me. Give me all the pain you want to give me. Let's walk down some more lonely roads together. If that means that we get to share in this thing called life and love and worship and ministry and the kingdom of God together. So now with that, I say I wouldn't trade anything in the world. Now, almost like the Apostle Paul prayed, he said, now I'll rather boast in my infirmities. Now I'm glad that I get to experience some of these things, not in the moment, but because of what the reward of that is. And I thank God. I thank God for Julie Beatty Smith. I thank God for him placing her in my life, for placing her in this church family's life, for pouring into and being a part of Darren's life for 23, 24 years and her family and the legacy that she leaves here. I'm so thankful that we all get to be a part of that. And it's the same for every one of us in this room. We're going to walk through some dark roads sometimes, and we're going to go down some lonely valleys sometimes, and we're going to do it together, and we're going to worship the whole time we're doing it. We're going to trust God the whole time we're doing it. And guess what? We're going to end up on a mountaintop again later, and we're going to be celebrating together. We're going to be high-fiving, rejoicing together, and we're going to do it. The key word is we're going to do it together. That's what the church is. That's what the body is. We do it together. God gives us that great privilege. And so I'm thankful today, God. I'm thankful today, Lord, for the good days. I'm thankful for the bad days. I'm thankful for every road, God, that we get to walk together. You've joined us together as a church body, Lord God. And I'm thankful that the church doors are not closed, God, but they have swung wide open to say, whosoever will, we invite you to come and be a part of the body of Christ. Be a part of this life-giving force that is the kingdom of God. So God, today I thank you for each and every one of these amazing people that you've placed in our lives. We today, God, my family, the Bates family, we are truly the recipients. And we're the ones who are thankful, God. We're the ones who are appreciative, God, that we have the great honor and privilege and joy to get to do life with these amazing people, God. So bless every home and family, every marriage, God, every child, every teenager, God, in this room, God. I pray your blessing, your continued blessing and work and move in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Won't you give yourselves, Life Church family, give yourselves a great big hand today. We love you. Love you so very much. I just have a brief word with only two closings today, Jimmy, that I want to share with you today before we go home. I believe strongly with everything that is within me that God's plan, his plan for each of us is to always be moving us forward. I don't believe it's God's plan for us to live in the past. It's always to be moving us forward. I also believe that if we want to follow Christ, we must develop a habit of looking forward. If we want to follow Christ, we cannot live in the past. A couple of Sundays ago, I made the comment how that it does us good sometimes to look back. But it's just that. It's just to take a glance to remind us of where God has brought us from and all that he's done in our lives. It's just to remind us of the faithfulness of God in our lives. But I believe it's his plan for us to always be looking to the future, to always be looking ahead, to develop a habit of looking forward. It means to always be thinking forward, to always be talking forward, and to be living our lives in a forward trajectory. I pray that each of us will always be people who look forward. That as a church family, as a ministry that God has called each of us to help and to lead and to push forward, I believe it's his will for this body of believers to always be looking forward. With God's help, I hope that we will be a people who are focused on the future. I hope that all of us in this room are looking ahead and looking to the future and not to the past. A church that is full of expectation and anticipation. A church that's full of hope and faith and confidence that the best days are not behind us, but they are yet still ahead of us. One of the constant themes all throughout Scripture is the theme of looking forward. Looking ahead. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul writes, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." In other words, I haven't got it all yet. I don't understand everything yet. But one thing I do, there's one thing that I'm definitely going to do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 43:18 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. And then in verse 19, he goes on to say, behold, I will do a new thing. Luke 9:62, Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't really know what Jesus intended or meant here. He didn't really elaborate on it a whole lot, but I want to just say this one thing for sure. I think he was addressing the whole idea that if you're looking back, you cannot move forward. That you're not helpful to the service of the kingdom, that you're not helpful to the purposes of the kingdom if you're always looking to the past. One of the greatest challenges for all of us, for families individually, for churches, one of our greatest challenges is to always keep our focus forward, to keep looking forward. Most people, most families get stuck here. They started out with big dreams and excitement, and they began this journey in a big way, but then they got stuck somewhere along the way. They got held back. They got bogged down. And then they settle in a place that ultimately they were meant to go through. There's a lot of challenges that we all face in life that can cause us to get bogged down and to settle maybe in a place that ultimately we were meant to go through, not to. In Genesis chapter 11, there's a story of Abraham's father. His name was Terah, and Terah was on his way with his family to the land of Canaan. And while they were on their way to Canaan, Terah had to go through this city. They had to go through this city called Haran. And rather than just simply passing through this place, Terah stopped in the city. We don't know for sure why he stopped there, but what we do know is that the name of the place was Haran. And we also know that Terah had a son whose name was Haran. And this child died at a young age. No parent who loses a child does that without major heartache and grief. And even now, we don't know factually, but it's highly likely that the reason that Terah stopped and settled in the city of Haran is that he was living and maybe reliving the pain of his past. I just want to encourage all of us this morning to not stop in the place that we were meant to go through. We don't have to curse the place we're at if it's not a good place, but maybe we were meant to not go to this place. We were simply meant to go through this place. We're going to go through some stuff in life. We're going to face some challenges in life, but let's not allow ourselves to stop in those places. Terah might have had very good intentions. He might have even said to himself, I'm only going to stay here for just a few days longer. There's kind of some sentimental value here. Here's where all my memories of my son are, my deceased son. This is where they are. It might have all began with just respect for the memory of his son. That might have been all it was to it, but then he began to memorialize the past season of his life in this place. I once heard a preacher say it this way: if you're going through hell, don't stop. Don't stop. Last week we talked about going through hell in the hallway. If you're in the hallway right now, the key is, your main advice right now, if you're in the hallway, is don't stop. Just keep moving, keep trusting, and keep walking toward the promises of God. It may not be the loss of a loved one or a son or a daughter, but we're going to go through some things in life. And the idea is to get through what we're supposed to get through. To get through it, not to it. David said it in Psalm 23. He said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because of this, I will fear no evil because he is with me. In other words, it's not in his heart to stay in the valley. How many of you know the folks that love living in the valley? Like, they get some kind of pleasure. There's some kind of payoff for them in living in the valley. Woe is me. If there wasn't such thing as bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. And they feed off of that, and they actually like it. Any of y'all got that sister-in-law in your life? I don't have a sister-in-law like that. I don't know why I use sister-in-law of all things. I don't want this to get back to my dear sisters-in-law and think I'm talking about them. But we all have those people in our lives. They love the valley. They love the valley. They want to stay in the valley, linger in the valley, build a house in the valley. But here's the good news for Abraham's family. Their story didn't end with Abraham's father's decision. It didn't end there with his decision to remain in Haran. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you.'" So now at this moment, he's still in Haran, and God says, "Let's go. It's time to move. You've been here in this place long enough. You've been in the valley of Haran long enough. It's time to get moving. You were meant to come here, but you weren't meant to stay here." And then look at the promise that follows right after this. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is the word that God began to speak to Abram while he was in that valley, while he was in the place of Haran. But it began with God saying, "Get out of here. Don't stay in this place anymore. You were meant to come to here, but you were also meant to go through here. It all starts with you getting up and getting through and moving on past this place you've been and the struggle that your family has had." Here's the key. Immediately after this, in verse 4, Abraham begins to make his break from Haran. And he sets out for the land of Canaan. And he finally makes his way to the place that God planned for them to be in the very beginning. Let me say it this way. People who look forward, move forward. People who look forward, move forward. What we look at, what we focus on, always affects what direction we go. For us to move forward, we have to look forward. We have to do it with vision, with expectation, with focus on the future and not the past. Every one of us in this room, we all have a story, and our stories have highs and lows. They have setbacks and they have comebacks. Our stories have good times and our stories have bad times. But the main thing that we have to remember is to continue through it all, to always look forward. I look across this room today and I'm so inspired. It is so inspiring to me to see so many people in our church family who didn't allow themselves to get stuck in a place of heartache and grief and pain. Yes, they came to that place. Yes, they accepted that moment. Yes, they went through that dark valley, but they said, I'll walk through this stuff and I'll be in this stuff, but I'm not going to let this stuff be in me. And when you kept moving forward, you inspired others, even right here in this church family, to do the very same thing. It's one thing to get up and talk about it. It's one thing to get up and preach about it. Oh, I'm going to walk with God all the days of my life. It's a whole other thing when challenges and heartache and adversity comes in our lives. There's nothing more inspiring to me than when I see children of God who go through incredible storms of life. People who have unexpected storms hit their world. And you know what they do? They just dig their heels in even more. They just pour concrete and they say, "I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep moving." They can't explain to you what's going on in their lives at that moment. They have more questions than they do answers. They can't answer the why to what's going on, but they walk by faith and they keep trusting God and they keep going to church and they keep leaning on the promises of God and they keep looking forward. I believe this is one of the greatest values of being a part of a church community. People always point out all the things that are negative about being a part of a church family and why they don't go to church anymore. But there's nothing quite like having an army of people around you who know how to persevere, who walk by faith, who go through real stuff, and they do not quit. They keep looking forward. There's nothing like having people in your life who are hurting, and while they're hurting, they're still lifting their hands and they're worshiping. They're still honoring God through it all. And they've made up in their minds, no matter what happens, they're not going to look backwards. They're going to always look forward. We miss the future if we hang on to the past. It's not just looking at the bad in our past that hurts us, but also if we just look too long at anything in the past, whether it's good or bad, it will cause us to miss the future. One of the biggest stories, one of the real big stories, if you will, of the Old Testament is the story called the Exodus. The story of God's people ultimately leaving their place of bondage and captivity in Egypt and heading for their promised land. What was supposed to be just a 40-day journey ended up being a 40-year experience of just going in circles in a wilderness. God's intention was for them to just go through the wilderness, to get through it and to keep moving forward. But they got to the wilderness and they got stuck in the wilderness and they missed their future because they kept looking back. They kept reminiscing of what was good in Egypt, as if there's anything good about being in captivity, as if there's anything good about being a slave. But isn't it amazing how if you find yourself in this hallway, all of a sudden that hallway just didn't seem so bad anymore. So I'll go back and settle in that place. Could you just try to imagine with me for a moment, if you can, this whole dynamic? When they were in Egypt, they were slaves. God had provided a place for them called the Promised Land, that where they would be able to have their own land. They would be able to own their own houses and plow their own fields and raise their children in freedom and ultimately pass on a great legacy. But now they're in that in-between stage. They're in the wilderness stage. They're in the hell in the hallway stage. And in that in-between stage, we're going to face some things that are going to influence us to turn our eyes and our vision from where we're going and from the promises of God and back to our past. We will be tempted in those moments to do just that. So they're in this wilderness season, the children of Israel are. They're in this season, this wilderness season, and God is literally providing miracle manna from heaven every day. I mean, can you imagine you wake up every day and there's literally food falling out of the sky? It's these miracle manna. No, it may not have been steak and potatoes, but God was providing. And truthfully, that's the way it's going to be sometimes in our lives when we go from the old to the new. The next. Where we are now and the next. And now for the Israelites, rather than looking forward and keeping their minds on where they were going and the promises of God, and the hope that was within them, and the expectation that God was going to do something great and big in their lives, they started reminiscing about the fact that they had a greater variety of food back in Egypt. Oh, out here, we only get manna out here. All we get out here is this manna fall. Back in Egypt, you know, we had, you know, lamb seared on the grill, and we had hummus and pita. I'm just trying to think of Mediterranean food is all I'm trying to think of. And they put all their attention on the past. And when they got their attention on the past, it caused them to ultimately miss out on the future. We should not assume for 1 minute that we can be looking back in our past and still experience all that God has for us in our future. When we look back, we miss out. It's not because God's not good and doesn't have something good for us. It's because we're always looking the wrong way. We've got to get our focus out of the wrong direction and put it back on the promises of God and begin to look forward. Can I tell you, it happens in church. It happens in the church world. People get stuck with in their kind of church. You know what I'm talking about? You ever heard anybody say that? Maybe you invited somebody to this church before. Well, that's not really my kind of church, you know. Or maybe you've gone to another church before and you go and you come back and you say, man, that was good and all, but that ain't my kind of church. Maybe you've heard these kind of phrases before. It's not what they expect church to be. You might remember when a lot of churches first started moving from choir robes. I love this choir we have up here today. They were outstanding. They were amazing. You might remember when we moved from choir robes and we started moving to praise and worship bands, and we called it singing off the wall is what they called it, because all of a sudden those new songs we were singing weren't in the song books anymore. So we had to get the overhead projectors with the transparencies because we had to type up new songs, and we were throwing them up on the wall. Some of you nodding your heads, you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. But when we moved, when some of the churches started making that transition into something new, looking forward a little bit, you would have thought that they had violated one of the Ten Commandments. Some people would ask the question, what's wrong with the good old hymns of the church? What's wrong with the good old song books and the way we've always done it in the hardback pews? What's wrong with that? Well, my response to that would be, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with those songs. There is nothing wrong with those beautiful styles of worship. They did and they still do have great value in the church today. But guess what else? Now we also have some new songwriters. We got some young songwriters coming along in the church, and God is breathing new life into this next generation. So many of us, those of us who grew up in the church, we got very sentimentally attached to certain things. And then we ultimately made the things and the style and the methods and the traditions, we made them our God. And that we built a shrine to those things. And then guess what we started doing? We started worshiping the style. We started worshiping the method. And we've been guilty of doing that and worshiping the tradition more than the God who it's supposed to be glorifying. Ouch. I'm talking to the wrong group of people today. We start taking the traditions, Jesus called them the traditions of man, and we started elevating them to being the will and the word and the plan of God. And Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Some people, some really good people, are missing out on today, and they're going to miss out on tomorrow because they're still trying to live in yesterday. They're still trying to keep yesterday alive. They're trying to keep the past alive. Well, that was the way grandma did it. That's the way mama did it. That's the way we're going to do it. This is the way it's done. And I'm not just talking about church now. I'm talking about every aspect of our lives. How many of you love to pull out the old baby albums of your babies and your children? And I love those fun little toddler stages when they were just so perfect and innocent and loving and adorable. And it seems like pictures will reveal that more than real life will sometimes, because you know you had some hellish nights with those youngins too, you know. But the pictures don't reveal all that. You just got all those perfect Kodak moments there. And we look back and we think, I'm scrolling through my phone sometime, and I won't try to embarrass her today. She's sitting in church, so I'm not going to embarrass her. But I look back at some of those old pictures of me and my little sweet baby girl, and she was just so perfect. She still is. She's still perfect in every way. But how many of us as parents, we've been guilty of looking back? Oh, I remember that stage. Oh, if I could have just frozen them in that moment. What a perfect time. They're growing up way too fast. Oh, I just blinked my eyes, and now they're 14 years old and going to high school. I just blinked my eyes, and all of a sudden they're leaving the house and going to college. I just blinked my eyes, and now I'm a grandparent. And all of a sudden, it seems like we might begin to kind of almost move into a little season of mourning, if you will. Mourning that we're not where we used to be. That I don't get to experience what I was experiencing. And now what I'm doing by celebrating or you might say magnifying or glorifying that season in the past and causing me to go into a place of great sorrow and mourning, it's causing me to miss out on today. And the joy and of this moment and this season of life and what God is doing right now. But that's exactly what the enemy does. He tries to put us in a different era, in a different season. It happens in the church, and it happens in our natural lives. That's why the Bible says, why do we worry? Why do we say, why were the former days better than these? Because if we think this way, then what we're going to do is we're going to miss out on the joy of that 14-year-old going off to high school and the fun time and the joyful time of that. We're going to miss out on the joyful college days. We're going to miss out on walking down the aisle and the joy of that moment because we're so caught up in the sorrow of it not being yesterday. If we're always looking back at what they were, we're going to miss out on the joy of today. If we're always looking at what it used to be like and what we liked about the past, and oh, how I wish we were back there, if that's our mindset, we're going to miss out on what God has for us right here and now today. I'm closing right now, believe it or not. But my prayer today is that we don't miss out on anything that God has for our future. And if we're living in yesterday, if it's living with the regret of failure, if it's living with the shame and the guilt of my past sins and mistakes in my life, if it's living with even just the regret of not being where I once was in a great place of great success or what I labeled as success, whatever it is, it has us stuck in this place. My prayer today is that we're going to be able to move forward and look forward. In our world today, right now, there are so many people who are cursing the future. There's people in the church that's cursing the future. You hear them say things like this all the time. Well, we're going to be all right. And they'll look at me and say, we're going to be fine. But it's your kids and your grandkids I'm worried about. Look, I get it. I get the reality of the world. I understand the economy, and I'm not talking about dollars and cents economy, I'm just talking about the economy of our world and the way it's working. I get it. I don't have my head buried in the sand. I'm not acting like I don't see and know everything that's going on in the world, but I refuse to let the report of the world supersede God's word and promises over my children and grandchildren's lives should he tarry. So guess what I'm going to do? If that's my mindset, if that's what I'm looking at, then I'm only looking forward. And here's what I say to your message to me. I say we do have a future. And I say that our children do have a great future. Will they have greater challenges? Yes. But that's only that much higher that they're going to rise and that much more victorious they're going to be than maybe you and I were. That's my word. So in my second closing, let me just say, looking forward is maybe just to continue to do what God has called us to do. Looking forward doesn't always mean that we're going to do something different all of a sudden. Oftentimes, it just means continuing to do what it is that we're supposed to do and what God has called us to do, and doing it with confidence and with faith that he is going to continue to do all that he is supposed to do and do his work. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I said earlier, 20 years this spring of Life Church. I'm going to tell you something. It's been an incredible journey. Some of you have been here from the very beginning. Some of you showed up just a few months right after we started. Some of you have only been here a few weeks. But I cannot let this moment pass without telling you the story. I won't go into all the detail today because I'm already on my second closing. But I will say this, that, you know, I was this 27-year-old single guy. God had not quite blessed me with this amazing gift that sits down here to my left right now. And God, for whatever reason, told this 27-year-old single guy to go back to Winsboro and start a church. And I questioned that and argued with that for many, many nights, and then finally surrendered to that. And then God began to open doors and do things. And I'll never forget him providing for us an incredible place of worship, free of charge. Signed the deed over, so to speak, on a beautiful little church out on Long Cedar Road. Can I just get a stand today? A stand, not a wave of hand, but a stand for everyone who was a part of the Little Red Brick Church in one way, form, or fashion. Stand today. If you were a part of that church, in that building, part of Life Church, in that building, let me appreciate you for a moment. Because I wouldn't be able to pastor this church today if it weren't you putting some confidence in what God had called us to do in the little red church on Long Cedar Road. That sounds like a good country song, doesn't it? I think I'll write it and give it to Brooks and Dunn or somebody. But can I tell you, over the last 20 years, we've had some amazing moments, haven't we, Mo? I mean, we've seen God do some miraculous and incredible things. Bruce and Laura, do you remember some of those moments that we shared where you literally felt the tangible presence of God and some of the incredible miracles that happened? Glenn and Mary, do you remember some of the stuff that transpired over these last several years? God making a way where there seemed to be no way. God joining people together like that nothing would be able to tear apart. Some glorious mountaintop, beautiful, miraculous experiences. And then guess what else? It's been some tough times too. It's been some dark roads that we had to walk down, individually and together as a church family, and just as a church in general. Some challenges that we had to face. But this is the testimony of Life Church. Testimony of Life Church is not, oh, look at this beautiful work that God is doing and all of the amazing things. That's a great testimony. I'm thankful for what God is doing. But the real testimony and what got us to the place that we're at now and what's going to get us to the next place that God is calling us to is that there's always been a mindset of looking forward. Always looking forward. Nobody ever got settled. Nobody ever just got comfortable. It would have been real easy during those days for some of you. It would have been real easy to say, you know what, we kind of like what we got here. This feels good. It feels like family. It's just a few of us, about 50 or 60 of us. Everybody knows everybody's name. Every time somebody gets an ingrown toenail cut out, we're all there. And we just, it felt good. And it would have been real easy to say, you know what, let's just hang out. But I'm so thankful for you people that just stood, because you had a mindset that I had. And it was, no, we're not going to settle anywhere. We're always going to look forward. We're not going to camp out in Haran. We're not just going to stay in this place. We're going to keep looking forward. We're going to keep pressing forward. We're going to keep reaching for all that God has called us to do. I thank God for the present, and I thank God for the past. But oh, I'm looking forward to the future. And every one of you in this room, you're a part of that. You are a part of the future and the purposes and the plans that God has. So let's continue with what we've been doing with vision and with faith. That's what looking forward is continuing with fresh expectation and faith and confidence, and a refusal to give in to the thoughts of yesterday, and a refusal to dwell in the past. It's insisting in our own heart and mindset, I'm looking forward. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I am looking forward to the things which are ahead. Would you stand with me today across this room? This is how I want to close this service out today. I want us to have a little altar time, if we will. We don't do this every Sunday, but we're doing it today. And here's what we're going to do. In my mind, I almost said, you know what we need to have? We need to have a funeral at the front of the church today for those who just need to bury some things and put it in the past once and for all. But here's what I realized. A lot of us have already buried it. We said, oh yeah, that was my past. That's there. But you know what we've been doing for years and years? We've been eulogizing it still. We've never left the church. We never walked out of the chapel. We're still talking about it. We're still nursing it. We're still cursing it. We're still rehearsing it in our lives. And today, I believe God's word is, you leave it here and you let it go, and let's leave the past in the past. You pick your eyes up and you begin to look forward, and you look at what all I want to do. You put your focuses on the promises that I have placed in your life, my promises that are yes and amen. And yes, you're going to find yourself in some valleys, and yes, there's going to be some harans you're going to walk through. Yes, you're going to find yourself in grief and loss sometimes, but here's the thing, you're not going to stay there. You're not going to live there. I'm going to make you bigger. I'm going to make you better. You're going to keep moving, and we're going to see God's work. We're going to see victory in our lives. through it all. So let's leave it here today. So as this worship team leads us out today, here's what we're going to do. We're not dismissing right away. We're just going to have a little time of closing the book on the eulogy today, saying, God, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm not going to curse it anymore. I'm not going to rehearse it anymore. I'm leaving the past in the past, and I'm looking forward with all confidence, with all faith, with all expectation, God, that you and you alone are going to do great things in my life, in my family's life, in my children's life. For some of you that have gone through maybe a nasty divorce and you're still lingering and holding on to you, today it's time to release those strings right now and say, God, I'm being loosed of that now and I'm moving forward. For some of you that have had to go through great financial loss in your life and you're still tethered to that, and today I believe God is saying, release those strings today. I'm going to lead you into a new season. I'm going to allow you to have the financial freedom that you can have so that you can be all that I've called you to be. Maybe you've been tethered by fear and anxiety from the future, and God is saying, leave the fear with me and trust me and look forward, and I will order and guide every step of your life. Let's do it today. Let's let go of the past. Let's let go of the past. Let's take our focus off. Let's look forward, and let's just leave it all with the Lord today. If you want your life to be changed forever, maybe you don't know him. Maybe you think he doesn't know you, but he does. He created you. He loves you more than you realize. I want you to know today that today's the day you can quit looking at your own failures and looking at your own past. Today is the day that you can accept and receive what he has already accomplished in giving you life and salvation. All you got to do is receive it and look forward. Today's your day. You can find it today in this house. Receive it in the name of the Lord. I invite you to come as they sing today. Father, we welcome you. Come and have your way in our hearts and lives, God. We look to you and we look forward. We take our eyes off of the past, forgetting those things which are behind, and we look forward, God. We press toward the things, God, that you have for our life and our future. In Jesus' name, have your way in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.